Okay. Yeah. Hello from Leipzig in Germany. I'm Eva. It's called product manager, but I feel like I just do stuff, support the developing team so that they can work and know what to do.
And I'm Felix, and I'm part of the mentioned developer team.
Yeah, and we work with a transport provider, and we do OTP development in-house, but only for the backend. So we only do the routing, and we provide APIs, and then it is used by our app. And yeah. Mm-hmm. So the app is Leipzig Move. It's a mobility as a service app. So you can also rent bikes and e-scooters, and soon also cars. And you can buy tickets. And of course, you can have routing for everything. So we have also routing for shared bikes and shared scooters. And also you can call a taxi. And this is all powered by OTP. And yeah, just to get an idea where we are located. So the lighter blue, it's the area that we have in our routing. And the darker blue, this is the city of Leipzig. So we have like very clear cuts. So if you're in a train that goes outside of this blue area, we will not tell you about it yet. So we plan on going further and at least like cover Saxony. That's the state we are located in. And we have also real-time routing, and there we use this Landesdatendrehscheibe, so this official source of real-time data, and this is in this, I assume, very German standard VDV 454. I don't know if anyone else is using it. We're transforming it to GTFS-RT and then feed it to OTP. And as I said, we do this in-house, and just to give you an idea how many activities there are. We have around 150,000 routing requests per day, and in total, like more than 200,000 monthly active users. Yeah, so that's just, and it looks pretty, I think. We have not so much to do with that. We just provide the results.
So, as it's called, show and tell, highlights and challenges. This is a current challenge we are facing using OTP, or a current project we are doing. We want to integrate the results and offers of our Flexa on-demand ride-pooling system into the standard itineraries that we get from OTP. Result of this project should be, as shown in this mock-up, that we get in our routing results a normal itinerary with tram and bus, and then, for example, a Flexa ride. This is this on-demand service, and the goal is that you can click on this Flexa ride and actually book and use it after getting it here. So this has to be an actually bookable and realistic offer. Therefore, a problem we're facing is that we don't think that GTFS Flex, or we haven't succeeded in doing so, that GTFS Flex could show this realistic result and deviate significantly from reality, and therefore suggest trips that would not actually be possible. And we are working on finding a way to actually include our Flexa algorithm, probably, so that we can get actual offers and realistic results that we can book after searching for a route in our app. That's it.
We prepared for 3 to 5 minutes. So.
Yes.
Do you have questions?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yesterday we talked about the REST API, which you appear to be using. Mm-hmm. Which version of OTP are you on?
Currently at 2.4 still, but we are on the way to update at least to the last version where the REST API is still available and usable, and it's a goal, a next goal kind of, I would say, that we switch to the current GraphQL API.
Yeah. How is your server setup looking like? Is it also hosted in your company, or is it in the cloud?
It's in the cloud. We are using Azure.
Okay, then.
Yes?
Is Flexa, is that on the bikes, or is it also think about having a car link?
How would you describe that?
I mean, it's not a car, it's like a bigger car.
Minibus.
Minibus, yeah. Exactly, yes.
And
yeah, we're working on similar things. Mm-hmm. So watch
out. Yeah, so do you also receive planned scheduled data via the VDB interface, the RefAus?
Yes.
And if so, how do you deal with that?
That's what is our basis for matching, because like all the IDs are all over the place, and we use ref hours to match, with our trips that we have.
Okay, so are you substituting the planned data with the, or the do you use GTFS for scheduled data, or what do you use?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could explain quickly what ref hours is.
I don't know if I'm the right person for that.
Yeah.
I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's you receive like a daily update on your schedule data. And it's just like confirms, or if there's anything that is like a daily change, then you get like a new schedule. Like that's what I understood from it, but maybe I'm wrong. It's not.
Yeah, so in my understanding, it's somewhere between real-time updates and the planned scheduled data. It doesn't have any delays in it, so from a domain perspective, it's more scheduled data, but it comes over the real-time interface, which makes it a bit challenging to deal with in OTP. So, are you creating the GTFS feed based on the RefAus data? Or are you creating it based on your scheduled data, you get someplace else, and then?
I would say based on the RefAus data, exactly.
Okay, so do you get multiple updates per day then from the RefAus data? Because then you would have to re-trigger the graph build as well.
Maybe, yeah.
Hard to say. Then probably not, yes.
I have more questions. So using OTP in Germany is a bit of an unusual choice. How did you get management buy-in, or whose idea was it, and how did you get it through the upper management?
Yeah. So the City Council of Leipzig, they said, we want to have a mobility as a service app. And we also want to have bicycle and e-scooter routing, and also we want to have intermodal routing. And at this time, or still in this area, Hakon systems are used. And I'm not sure if Hakon was at this time not having it in its catalog to offer multi and intermodal routing, or if it was just like very expensive. And that's why this idea, someone had the idea to just do it in-house, and someone heard about OTP at some conference, and then this development team was founded. And but also like at least experienced people were hired that not did work with OTP, but in general with traffic and transit stuff. I don't know. And it's they learned really quick. Like one anecdote is, we also have an autocomplete that we do ourselves. And there was like a mini challenge between the in-house development and some service provider. And they said, yeah, who is faster to get a better autocomplete that finds all the addresses? And then it was apparent that if you task the right people and they are in-house and you have it within weeks, other than you wait for months and then maybe have something that doesn't even fit what you need. And that what convinced them to keep doing this. And also this Flexa system, this is also developed in-house, so it's also our own product.
Also the booking backend.
Yes.
You have in your project they started from I don't know the German personally, some government, some authority level. Can you get help from them to convince the data producers that you collect the data from to improve their data? I ask is Hafcon that deliver the HAPA system in Germany can convert the HAPAS raw format to the NetX, Nordic NetX profile, which is easier to use in OTP, but they are not selling that outside of Norway.
Okay, I don't think we have any influence there, to be honest. I think we are like the lowest level of people who receive stuff. And I think because we are also, like, we are quite small, and we receive data from other data pools and so on, and we are not on top of minds of people. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Hi. I'm Thomas. Most of you know me. Work for Entur and as a developer worked with OTP for a long time. And I'm going to present the new OTP debug client. So it had been under development for some time, and today I will show some of the functionality that we have, but I will also show a little bit of what we have made during the last weeks. So that this is not available yet, it's not merged into OTP, but so this is a heads up of what's coming. See if I can. So this is the purpose for this OTP client is to be a tool for developers and product owners to debug, really get a visual presentation of the travel search. It's not meant for production. So it has a lot of features that is tailored debugging requests. So let's see if we can. What's happening? Okay, I'm not sure why I'm. We got some results at least. So in OTP, The last thing that happens inside OTP is that we filter down the results we present. So the routing engine actually finds a lot more results. But that can be overwhelming to present to the user, so it's filtered down. So if I turn this to limit search window, we will see more results. So these in red here, they are not shown. They are filtered away in OTP. So it can be useful to now, for example, results 5 and 6 here. Why are we showing result 5 instead of 6? So I can now go here and I can compare this. So this is new. And here we see this is more or less the Pareto criteria for these itineraries. So you can see the start time and end time, the duration, cost, and number of transfers. So number 5 was given out by Raptor because it has the best, lowest duration, while number 6 was best on cost. And then the final itinerary filter actually chose to use number 6 because the cost dominates the other factors when we find them similar. That's the basic rule we use when filtering down itineraries. And also you can see that probably the cause of this cost being higher is the walking distance. So if you want deep dive further, you can actually also compare the legs like that. So it makes it much faster to debug itineraries before you had to like dig into the numbers on the side, and makes it a little bit easier. Okay, I guess this, for those who use OTP, this, at least when you're debugging the street routing, these layers are very useful. I am not the right person to demonstrate this, I have to say. I don't work too much with it, but it has a lot of different visual representations of, for example, you can look at all the edges that is inside OTP. You can go down here and you can turn on, for example, no, that's not the one to share. Permissions text, for example. So you can see what kind of modes are on these roads. If you want to look at car specific, you can do this, and you get the car roads, bicycles, and pedestrians, probably the same as bicycle in this case. Yeah, so there are some nice, explore it and use it. Any questions? Yeah?
Yeah, good morning. What is this cost you mentioned? How is it calculated?
That's a complicated question. So the cost represents the traveler's human cost of traveling. So normal people or the average people, they don't want to walk too much. So we compare the cost to riding transit. So riding transit is given, every second on a vehicle riding a transit is given a cost of 1. So you can compare this to seconds really it takes to travel. Then a normal walk reluctance is 2, which means that if you are walking, you are willing to spend if you're walking 5 minutes, then you would be willing to take a bus instead, which takes 10 minutes to get to the same point, because the walking factor is 2. So you multiply the transit or the walking time with 2 and you compare with the transit. And then there is a bunch of these factors. So everything that we try to model, everything that the traveler would look at as some inconvenience. For example, walking stairs, waiting. People don't like waiting. People want to be on the move. So waiting is less attractive than... I think the wage reluctance is one, by the way, but in real life, people don't want to wait. They would rather sit on the bus than wait. So these are all the factors that goes into that cost function, and there is a lot of different things.
Yeah, so it's like a comfortability factor.
Yes, absolutely. So in OTP 1, this was the single criteria that OTP routed on. It's checked that the times were correct, but what it was using as a criteria for choosing which path you should take, it used this criteria.
Thank you.
Yeah?
So, just to be clear for me, is this filtering being done in production or is just here in OTP debug?
This filtering is done in the OTP server side. So this is done in production. And you can configure this filter. There is lots of different filters. And if you are missing a filter, you can make a PR and create a filter. So they are also used to decorate itineraries. So for example, the fares, that is added using a filter.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Maybe you could explain why we don't show all results. Why is it bad to show all results?
Yeah, that's the easiest example for that is to actually... I didn't get... Yeah, I think this is... I'm going back to the normal map. So I recognize where I am in Oslo. Something like this. And then we give it a search window of 2 hours. I was expecting a lot more results. Yeah, so this here I get 120 results roughly. This is not something that the customer wants. So they want something a lot less things to, and for short distances in Oslo there can be more than this, even within an hour. So that's the number of Pareto optimal results. All of these are optimal if you look at the Pareto, if you compare them. But some of them are very, very similar, so they are in basically equivalent. So that's why we have these filters to filter down the results. And this was the conscious decision from OTP 1 to OTP 2 that we wanted the routing engines to produce more results, a lot of results, and we wanted to filter them down to actually achieve this, instead of actually have this pruning happening inside the routing engine. Because now we can apply other information before we do the filtering. So that's a big advantage for this technique. Okay? Is that other questions?
Thank you.
You okay with this, Michael?
I need to connect the HDMI.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot something. I didn't develop this. It was Andreas Lingley at Ubuntu who developed it, and he's the one that you should tax.
Yeah, that's.
I have a presentation and
the
apps that I saw on the online form.
Yep, let's try that.
Yeah. Let's try that. Okay, let me open the presentation. How do I use that?
I have no clue. There's a bunch of cables here. No, that's not reassuring.
Let me see. Screen mode.
Do you know which?
There are two HDMI cables.
Yes.
So you need to try them both if you don't know which one works. And there's, okay, you have your own adapter. I know there's at least one of these that works as an adapter. So you might need to try another one. I think you need to connect the HDMI on the other side.
HDMI on the other side of the adapter.
I think it's that one, but I'm not sure. It's not very well labeled. If it doesn't work, we should try the other one. You don't need to do anything on the phone to broadcast your screen. Think you can do the presentation without?
No, because I need to demonstrate the app.
Okay.
Or if so, I take off my computer.
Yeah.
Try it. Had success with the USB-C. That worked for me.
Okay, let's hope this works. Maybe we need to wait for it to start.
Oh, this is a good sign. This is promising. When this label goes away.
Okay, yes,
great.
It works.
Great. Can you attach this microphone, or do you want
to? Yes, attach the microphone. Testing. Okay, let me set it up first. Okay, it's ready now. Hello, so I'm going to present our product, which is called Orbin, and it is an OpenShift Planner-based product which works in the whole of Great Britain. And this product is initially a product which is designed as a travel companion for autistic travelers, but now it is usable for everyone, so including autistic travelers and then also neurotypical travelers as well. So it is based on the user needs for the personalized information and alternative travel routes, which is not available in other commercial travel journey planners. And this is made possible by using OpenShift Planner. So what it happens is that it can provide a personalized journey planning, which allows you to input a lot of preferences into it, and then also multimodal journey planning, like park and ride, and then kiss and ride. And then we also have some crowdsourced information as well, but it is currently under development. And we also have, apart from the functionality of OpenShift Planner, we also have a few custom models developed for the GB market, which include the National Rail Station information. And some other tools which help autistic travelers, including text-to-speech and autism card. So this is the most which OpenShift Planner supports, which includes like rail, bus, aeroplane, but we don't have aeroplane coverage in the Great Britain because of the lack of data. And then we have trams, and then carpools, and ferries, gondolas, and cars, scooters. These are all supported by OpenShift Planner. And then we are going to expand the coverage depending on the availability of data. And then, so I go to this slide first. And then our app is now currently available in production on the Android and iPhone. Then you can scan your QR code or search for Orbin. That is spelled Alpha, Uniform, Bravo, India, November from the App Store. So I'm going to do some demonstration first to see the functionality of the app. Okay, so this is the web version of the app, and because we have made it as a universal web app, so it can run identically on the browser and the App Store, but of course the native app will have better performance and better functionality due to the use of some additional sensors. So this is the web version, but the interface is equivalent. So we have some app settings where you can add some color filters, because maybe some people who have visual impairment may have require some other color size. Maybe you can tune it to less sharp, or apply some additional color filters which is applicable for some people with visual impairments. And then, as mentioned before, we have an autism card, which is like here, which is editable. It doesn't look that nice in the web browser, but it will look better in the app. And if it is canceled, then it says you can re-enable in the settings page, which is here. And then for the stress labels, then we can configure it as length, description, or time, which I will explain later, which is like is shown here, like medium stress, or we get a time which is a quantified amount of the stress you will encounter in your journey. And then you can also configure what the summary to show, or the speed unit as well, and how do you show the delay and cancel trains.
And this is a part of the page where we utilize the OpenShift Planner capability. So you can configure how much you want to prefer or avoid a certain mode of transport. And this is a production version, and then we have a version in development, which has more settings. Oh, not this. Okay, for this development version, now you can say changing global preferences, or you can change per journey preferences, which will be saved along all your journey. And then you can also configure your walking routes to rely if you want to prefer safe walking routes or you don't care about safety, or you can configure you want to walk or cycle or drive faster or not. So I'm doing some journeys in Great Britain for demonstration. Like for example, from my office. To another place in London. So it contains a number of journey options, which is labeled like medium stress or high stress. It means that the journey better match your preference, then it will be a low stress. If the journey is against your preferences, it will be a high stress. So you can use it to configure to see if your journey matches your preference or not, or if it is a good or bad journey for you. So for example, if I like taking trains, I change it to prefer. And then I can search again. And now the train journey has become medium stress instead of high stress, because I need to take trains. But the source of stress is because there is a long walk after the train journey. Okay, so going back to the slide now. So we still have some challenges when developing our app. So in particular, we have the UK have a first mover disadvantage because we are the first mover in a lot of modern railway systems. So therefore, a lot of information standard is of legacy standards, which has predated standardization. So we have some legacy systems like Darwin, which is predated the NetHex or GTFS standards. So we need to work on the data to get feed into OpenShift Planner. And also for the transport of London data, we currently don't have the ability to get the real-time information on the timetable entry yet. So this is the reason why we can't provide the real-time data for the tubes and buses yet in London. And outside London, because there are the bus privatized and deregulated, and there is actually no transport authority compared to some other countries where every city has transport authority. So it also makes a difficulty for us to get the real-time data as well. And and the legal requirement to submit real-time data does not include the estimated times. It includes the fares and also the vehicle position, but not the estimated time. So we need to work on generating them with on our own. And the lack of fare integration is also a problem for us. So that's the reason why we still can't provide the fare information yet, especially regarding to some rail bus tickets, where the fare data does not contain the matching of which bus route where you can use on the bus. And this is our infrastructure. So and I'm not going to explain it in details because it should be similar for most open trip planner implementations. And now this is the end of my demonstration, and I'm welcoming any questions for you. Okay, thanks.
I'm curious why it was taking so much time to find itineraries. Was it because it's constrained server resources, or you do a lot of background work after you fetch the results from the
OTP? It is because it takes so long to search for itineraries. So in Great Britain, we are running I think it may be the largest OpenTrip Planner implementation in the world. So that's the problem of the scalability of OpenTrip Planner. And also we have a large number of transfers and large number of preferences. So if you change your preferences, it will need to recalculate all the transfers. So this is a problem where we and two want to work at.
So you have graphs for the whole of the
Yes, the whole of GB.
Okay.
Thank you, yes.
So, for example, when you have this preference that you like trains, does it also interest like the train, or change the train weights in the request, or does it only do it like after you get results, then it changes the stress level, or does it also affect the results?
It is a request parameter passed to OpenTrip Planner, so it is a direct translation to the values.
Are some of the parameters that you can change things that only affect the, like the stress level in the which is shown, or do they all affect the results?
They all affect the results. Everything here affects the results, and everything here is a parameter into the OpenTrip Planner.
Okay.
Yes.
How do you get the information on safety for travel?
For this, we get it from OpenStreetMap. So it depends on the tag combination. So for example, if it is a trunk road, then we have a high reluctance when safety is enabled for walking and cycling. So by enable safety, then the journey planner will prefer you to use the safe routes and calculate the times correspondingly for the street most of your itineraries.
Okay.